Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio Station, home of the Hebrews, home of the Israelites, where they have been awakening from amnesia unto their true identity. I want you to join us here every week with Brother Seth as we talk about a different subject and a different title on every one of his program. On Sundays, we have Proof Biblical Jews 101, and that is 11:30 p.m. And on Tuesdays, we have Racial Matters and Solution at midnight. Thursday, we have New World Watch Society at midnight. On Saturdays, we have the International Israelite Forum. And we'll keep you in touch concerning the time on that. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, home of the Hebrew, the Israelites.
have grown such, along with the fact we get some complaints about Blog Talk Radio service, but we've actually, it's going to be doing using another phone line. I'll talk about that more in the future. I don't know when the phone is beeping. Hopefully y'all can't hear that beeping. But anyway, we'll talk about that in the future, but we are going to be using another phone line where we can get more people and they won't be dropped and they won't be harassed and et cetera, et cetera. So this next phone line is going to be able to take up to 1,000 people. So that's going to really help us out a lot. So just stay tuned. Right now we're talking about the website, though. Go to the front page and check things out, okay? Go to the website, register. Yeah, it's going to ask you a few little questions, but become a part of what the Most High is doing these latter days. He's doing a lot of things, a whole lot more bigger than what I'm even dreaming of for this particular project. It's so much bigger than what we're doing. We're a joke compared to what the Most High is doing. But I shouldn't say a joke, because we are part of what the Most High is doing. No matter how small it is, it's serious and it's important. So we are about sharing truth with regards to what the Most High is doing these latter days with Israel. When I was calling a joke, mainly I was talking about these times. The Most High is doing so much on this planet globally, but like a little dot. Important dot, but yet a dot. That's all I was saying. So we are sharing five topics that we call five smooth stones. And many of you have heard me go over what the topics are, but in a nutshell, the five topics are five answers that the Most High gave me to five questions that I asked from my heart. I mean, poured my heart out asking five questions because I was so frustrated with racism in the church, racism in the community, racism in society, and this whole movement to try to block the progression of a people. So I asked the Most High five questions. Those answers have been what we call five smooth stones. Of the five topics, talk about the revelation of true Israel. And I'm going to tell you right now that Most High is so much more concerned with the heart and the spirit of a person than he is who they are physically, biologically speaking. So if you want to trivialize this message to Brother Seth talking about how Yahshua was a dark-skinned person, or the prophets were dark-skinned people, you have this badly missed the boat with me. I'm so much bigger than that, and I'm just hoping nobody's still saying it. I know they used to say it. But this message is so, so much more important than sharing that the Messiah was dark-skinned, the disciples and the prophets. Yes, they were, but it's so many more things important than that in the scriptures. So many more things important than that in the scriptures. That is important, though. But you don't go build a church on just that. So, folks, tonight I'm telling y'all, if you ever listen to Blog Talk Radio and listening to five smooth songs on Blog Talk Radio, I should say, tonight is the night to listen. I'm going to share about a trip I took to Ethiopia. You cannot miss out on these little details. I'm going to introduce you to some things maybe you know of, maybe you don't know. But I can assure you of one thing. Before I get done, you will be enlightened to some degree. And I'm not discounting the Holy Spirit to take what I say and shed even more light. But the people of Ethiopia is no joke. The people of Ethiopia is no joke. They, when everything is said and done, with regards to their history and everything is said, they will make Rome look like little children without a purpose. Ethiopia is as the planet. Ethiopia, so many things spiritually started there. It's almost like that's the true Israel. I mean, it's almost like that. Israel has been taken over and polluted and just polluted. There's no other word other than that. Till it don't even have its same look that it did thousands of years ago. And it's hard to understand history looking at the people in Jerusalem right now. Hard to understand history. That's why people don't even, this message don't even interest a lot of people, because they look, they think of Israel, they think of those people in Jerusalem, and it's so foreign from what we are, from how we, our culture in America, from, it just seems so far from black people's culture and who they are supposedly. But the truth is often stranger than a fiction. That land used to mirror a people that was just like us. Everything we go through right now as a people, as a nation, there was a nation that lived in Israel whose houses were led by women, whose young men, when they was taken into captivity, the men of that, young men of that nation was taken into captivity. Kind of like the prison system we have now, to where these mothers could not enjoy their young boys. They were taken into captivity. Again, the houses were led by women. I know we had King Saul and Solomon and all of these different kings. But these houses, when they was, especially when they was taken into captivity, serving these other nations, skipped out the four corners, these houses were led by women, folks. I thought you knew. Ethiopia is a cousin, if you will, to Israel. In other words, when I say cousin, what do I mean? Ethiopia is, when we say Ethiopia, we're mainly talking about Solomon's son called Menelik. There's various spellings on it, so don't kill me if I didn't get it right according to your page, but there's several ways to spell it. Solomon had a son by Hakita or Queen of Sheba called Menelik. She was pregnant after her visit with King Solomon. She came back with this boy to present to Solomon. Solomon commanded, I'm pretty sure it was 300 priests from Israel, to take this son and raise him up in the ways of Israel. 300 priests. To raise them up in the ancient traditions of Israel. So hopefully y'all can hear that beeping. It's this, I'll tell you, hate technology sometimes. But anyway, that boy descendant is called today the Ethiopians. Menelik, Queen of Sheba, and Solomon had a son. Again, his name was Menelik. And when Solomon presented this young boy to him, of course, Solomon was excited like most men are. He commanded these priests to raise him up, like I just said, according to the traditions of Israel. And so later on, speed time up, fast forward things, that son, having raised up the people in, excuse me, bear with me, y'all. That son is the people today, became the people today of Ethiopia. Not all Ethiopians are from the line of Menelik, but a lot of them are, okay? And so this is how Hebrewism reached Ethiopia before it reached a lot of other nations. Now, keep in mind, the Most High started with Ethiopia in the Garden of Eden. That's a whole nother conversation. We're going to have this, like, three different glory lines, if you will, for Ethiopia. But before I get into all of that, because I'm about to get into all of that, let me do one thing. As y'all know, we try to be a little modern here, and we've now got little blogs, little ads from our supporters. So let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsors, and then we'll get right into this, okay? So I want everybody to support Sister Kingdom with her endeavors as she tried to get the word out, get this word out and other words out, possibly whatever the Most High have given you. But anyway, here she is, Sister Kingdom.
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S, .com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, are so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in their land. Shalom, shalom.
That is so true. That is so true. That is so true, folks. I mean, it just can't be peace. It just can't. It's impossible. How can you have peace? I mean, it just can't be peace without this revelation. So, hopefully, we'll see it in our time. But I can tell you one thing. We're going to see it. Either now, while we're alive, or after we're dead, we'll hear about it when we're with the saints. Anyway, let's just go ahead and pick up where we left off. Like I was saying, Ethiopia is in the Bible. It's the first nation in listening to the scriptures. That's number one. So the Most High started with the nation. But if that ain't good enough, later on, Queen of Sheba and King Solomon has a son named Menelik. And the spelling in the show's description is going to be one of the active ways of spelling it. It's other ways you can spell it, though. Menelik. So Makeda, that's the Queen of Sheba. Her name was Makeda, or Queen of Sheba. And Sheba back then was Ethiopia. So they had a baby. And as time passed, the baby became this nation called Ethiopia. Now, Haile Selassie is the most popular of this lineage because he lived in our time. Not too long ago has he passed away. And they called him when he was living Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The Rastafarians to this very day believe that Haile Selassie had a divineness about him, and they actually honor him like the Messiah. Believe it or not, they do. Okay? I can play some songs right now telling you that. But they believe he was divine. And they believe that for many reasons. One of the reasons were when Ethiopia is the only African country that hasn't really been colonized. I mean, they tried it for a couple of years, but they was defeated. And Haile Selassie called a fast, called his nation to a fast. After he went all around the world trying to get support to fight the Italians, couldn't get very much help, came to America, tried to get different people to come and support, even African Americans. Promised African Americans that they would be able to live in Ethiopia if they fought. A lot of people don't remember that, but it did happen. Make the long story short, Haile Selassie didn't get the kind of support he needed from the world community, so he called his nation on a fast. And when he called this nation on the fast, they defeated the Italians with all this high-tech armory, with mostly bow and arrows and wooden weapons. They had some, had a few high-tech guns and artillery or whatever, but not like the Italians had. They did not have the kind of technology the Italians had. But they defeated the Italians. Everybody know about that. And the Rastafarians looking at this felt like, how in the world could Ethiopia defeat one of the greatest nations or greatest armies on the planet, except the Most High be with them? So they begin to start calling Haile Selassie, you know, divine and so forth, which he is. They call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is. He is. From a natural standpoint, Haile Selassie is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords because they, you know, they had lords in his organization, and he was the top lord of the lords of his country, and even lords in England, a lot of them recognized him over them. So he technically was Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but not like the Messiah for sure. Not even in the same conversation, I believe. So anyway, they had all these titles for him, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of Judah. And he visited Jamaica because he heard about these people and how they referenced him. And the Jamaica hadn't had rain in, I know it was years, I think. It was a long, long time, whatever long time it was. And as soon as Haile Selassie planned a trip there, some kind of way, either on his way that day, it began to rain. That's another reason they say he was deity. So the Rastafarians have much love in their heart for Haile Selassie, a descendant of Menelik. Okay? All right? So, and then there's another angle of Ethiopia that a lot of people don't know about, and that is these Falashian Jews. Okay? These are people that have kept the culture fresh, kept the laws, kept sacred laws, and they are a serious authority over anybody walking around in the land of Jerusalem. These people have more claim to Jewry than anybody, even though they're not one of the lost tribes. There was 12 tribes of Israel. Menelech was not one of those tribes, even though he was Hebrew by way of Solomon. He's not one of the 12 tribes. But these Falashians was once lived in Israel and end up leaving Israel when the Crusades and all this happened. They end up back in Ethiopia after wars with the Crusaders and different people in the Holy Land. And back in Ethiopia, Israeli government have acknowledged these people as authentic Israelites, authentic Jews, which everybody say, well, that's a good thing. But to me, I don't acknowledge the people in Jerusalem doing anything. And by the way, so I won't forget, I want to welcome everybody in the chat room. I see you. I'm a little bit tired, a little bit less than 100% tonight. So, a lot of times this is one of the best shows when I'm not doing as well. But welcome everybody in the chat room, especially Miss I Am Epic, one of our faithful, faithful followers. But all the guests there, welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you on the phone lines, again, thank you for joining. Thank you for stopping by. If y'all have any comments or questions, press 1 on your phone. I'll try to get to it as soon as I can and hear what your question or comment is. If you're in the chat room, type your question or comment, and we'll try to get to it as soon as possible. Okay? If you're in the chat room, you may have to type it more than once. I'm going to try to just keep looking where you won't have to do that, but please be patient with me. I'm the only one doing this today, and I'm not 100%. I had a long, long day at work today, but I'm determined to get this truth out. I went to Ethiopia. I guess it's been about 5 years now, but folks, you can always click on my Facebook and click on the photos. I have photos on several nations I've been to. I think I got India photos, I think I have Guam photos, I think I have Ethiopia photos, I think I have European photos someplace in Europe. I know I took some pictures up there. I got pictures of me all over Australia, but for sure Ethiopia, for sure. So check it out, check it out. When I tell you I'll go to these places, I'm not just making this stuff up. But anyway, the reason why I went to Ethiopia, because I heard about Menelech and I heard about the Rastafarians and how much they really cherish this man called Haile Selassie. And I went there and I went to see all of these, the glory. I wanted to see the glory of this people. And I wanted to see all the black images I heard of Christ there for my own reason and research. I just don't trust the people that run the nation of Israel. I don't trust modern-day churches. I don't trust preachers that's motivated and driven and pressured and operated and controlled by money. Not all of them, but even the nice ones are scared to say stuff so they won't ruin, they just hesitant. Truth is hard to find when money is involved. So I figured if I go to Ethiopia, I would get some raw stuff, and I got something. I got one of the most powerful things I've ever heard with my ears told to me in Ethiopia by the guy that was driving me around. I'll share it in a little bit. But just so you know, who is or what's so good about Ethiopia? Ethiopia make all the nations of the world look like little children playing country. Playing nation, so to speak. Okay, this is an ancient old country. I know they talk about Egypt, but I don't know, folks. Ethiopia was around in that garden, but there's people that argue that Egypt is old in the garden. I'm not going to get into that. All I can tell you is it's the first nation mentioned in the Bible. All I can tell you is King Solomon had a son with Queen of Sheba. Makeda is her name, That son was named Menelik. It's in the Bible, Menelik. And as a matter of fact, let me just find it because I don't want y'all thinking I'm making up stuff. So bear with me while I put the phone down and look this up because sometimes I'm in a Bible study mode. I'm always in a Bible study mode. But I don't always quote a whole lot of scriptures, and I think that's something I should work on. But this is in the Bible. So anyway, that's three reasons I believe in Ethiopia. Again, it's in the book of Genesis. It's in the book of Genesis, okay? And it talks about how the rivers that ran throughout Eden, one of the rivers, encompassed the land of Ethiopia. Now, this is in the Bible, okay? Now, you can find this. Those of y'all who have your Bible out, because you know I'm always going to be quoting from the scriptures, because I want us to understand what Brother Seth is talking about. But this is Genesis 2:13 when it talks about a river that encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Okay? So, again, Brother Seth ain't just whistling Dixie here. All right? Now, the Queen of Sheba, after she was so impressed by Solomon, is blown away by his wisdom. They end up having sex. You know Solomon, he always seemed like keep it real. I don't mean to say that, but y'all know what I mean. But anyway, he ended up getting her pregnant. And this is in 1 Kings 10, should have that account, where it talks about Queen of Sheba. But anyway, this son, and y'all bear with me, I'm sure you can hear me stalling. I'm trying to look it up as I speak so y'all be able to go and research, but I think those scriptures are going to hold true. So if you can go there and just research that, that will help you out. 1 Kings 10, okay? Now, anyway, when I went to Ethiopia, I wanted to see Haile Selassie, and I did. I saw where he lived. I saw his palace. Folks, y'all talking about going to Paris and Rome and all this stuff. You have got to go to Ethiopia, not to mention the place is just beautiful. I know that's different than what y'all heard on TV. I know that's different than what they say, but I promise you, that's another reason I went. I didn't have to trust the media. The media ain't going to never tell y'all nothing good about Africa. Y'all need to be going to Africa all day long. Africa, 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 Africa. I'm telling you, that's the cradle of civilization. That's where it all began. We have been lied to. Beauty, you ain't seen beauty. You really think you've seen beauty. There are certain angles in certain countries in Africa that's just unmatchable. I mean, what other nation is going to have possibly volcanoes in the back or mountains, snow-capped mountains with bridges, really color up the scene, giraffes in the background and just thousands of giraffes running. I mean, nothing can top that. Nothing can top that. Our planet was made for animals. If you have a area of this earth and it's not saturated with animals, that's not what the Most High created. The Most High created land with animals. Animals decorated kind of like furniture. So you got to have you some animals running around, else you really don't have beauty at all. But all the things we have in the beautiful countries, the beautiful cities, like San Francisco and Seattle got a lot of nice looks. And there's different cities across the United States that have beauty here and there. Hawaii has certain parts of it. All I'm saying is That beauty cannot touch African beauty. It just can't, folks. Africa got it all from A to Z. Just like with the facial features and body figures, and Africa has it all, A to Z. Shades of color, A to Z. Hair textures, A to Z. Nose structures, A to Z. Lip structure, A to Z. It has it all because everything started in this continent we call Africa. So Ethiopia is just one of the beauty spots. And I'm here to tell y'all, these Ethiopians, they know what I'm talking about. That place right there has some of the most beautiful people, and especially beautiful women. I'm telling you what I know. Better believe me on that one. But I hear beautiful men. I don't judge men. I don't know what beautiful men look like. I've never, you know. But I can tell you this. I think there's some beautiful people in Ethiopia. Okay? Their features can range anywhere from typical African to what we call European, which is not European at all. European get their features from Ethiopia. So the features are smaller lips or narrow noses. Those are Ethiopian features because that nation been around way before the whole continent of Europe. So when I went, I got to tell y'all the bomb that was dropped on me. I began to start touring all of these places and just snapping my camera as fast as I could. I saw Haile Selassie's throne where he literally sat down and did his business, you know, as king. I went to his palace, saw how the royalty, the man was no joke. As a matter of fact, there is a video on YouTube, and maybe I'll try to find it for tonight. I got to post it, put it in the show's description. But there's the kings of the world, the queens and the kings of the world is kissing this man's hands. Now, that's how they do things, but still the fact that we're looking at the king, I forget what Japan called their top leader. But to see that man kiss Haile Selassie's hand and see the Queen of England run up in there and kiss his hand, seeing the President of the United States kiss his hand, that was something that gives you an idea of how this man was respected, this so-called Lion of Judah. But anyway, I went there and I began to start looking at all this history, and I knew to go to the museums. The museums, I went to several museums, I'm telling y'all, my goodness. Words cannot express. Two museums that blown me away, three museums that blown me away. The British Museum, which is where all the stolen artifacts went for real. That's king of all museums because they done stole everything. For sure, the British Museum is number one. But the Egyptian Museum in Egypt, that museum is no joke. But that Ethiopian museum ain't going to take backseat to none of them. I mean, you've got to see the different things that they have. One of the things they have, and I didn't post a picture there, y'all have to forgive me, but if you will go to Facebook, click on my Ethiopian section of photos, you're going to see where the museum in Ethiopia rendered a picture of what they think Adam looked like. They rendered a picture of what they think Adam looked like. Go to my Facebook, click on Ethiopia, and you're going to see me looking at this picture. It's a black man, and you got to see his features, and you got to see this picture. This is what this museum, they come to a conclusion of what Africa, what the first man looked like. And when I say this museum, I mean the scholars that put this all together, archaeologists, black archaeologists from an African standpoint, was responsible for this image. And you need to see that. And the things that they said about it, I don't know if I posted that. But anyway, all I'm saying is That's not the big revelation I'm going to drop on y'all tonight, though. That was just, I'm just sharing what I experienced there at the palace and at these museums. But I went all around Ethiopia. I mean, all around. I went to the very top of, I went to Addis Ababa. And I went to this church called the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Now, watch this. This is the first little thing I'm going to drop on you. This is major, but any major is the big one I got. Well, I'll go ahead and just tell y'all, all of it. There's a church called the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And I'm telling y'all, y'all better really listen to what I'm about to say, because y'all not going to believe what I'm about to say. This is going to change your whole Bible study. What I'm about to share with you is going to change everything about the way you study. It's going to get you at least curious about, you know, another whole presentation. I'm going to this church called the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and I'm asking a lot of questions, you know, and they mentioned something called, I think they mentioned the word nun. No, they mentioned the word pope. And I said, oh, so y'all are Catholic. And the drivers looked at me and said, no, we're not Catholic. I said, oh, okay. So we kept on touring and seeing all of these ancient, old buildings and stuff. I really came here to see the churches that's inside of the ground. I don't know if y'all see these or not. But Ethiopian have these churches where you could be standing on the ground and you can look around you and don't see no church, no building, nowhere. If you don't be careful, you're going to fall about 200 feet down. It is churches underground. And these are the churches Haile Selassie went to when he had them to fast and pray for the victory over the Italians. Anyway, but I didn't get the chance to get up to Lalibela and all those places to see that, but what I saw was good enough. I kept any churches called the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and we kept asking questions. They kept doing things that seemed Catholic, like they would kiss the building. I said, oh, that's Catholic. And I wouldn't, you know, I'll just think it. And then later on they mentioned, I think they mentioned the word bishop or something, some word they mentioned. I say, I thought you said something about Catholic. I said, that's Catholic. And this guy looked at me and said, we're not Catholic, my friend. And listen to this, here's the bomb. He said, do you remember the Ethiopian monk in the book of Acts? The Ethiopian monk in the book of Acts. Remember, everybody, that in the book of Acts there was an Ethiopian monk, and he was reading the scriptures. And I think it was Philip. Yeah, it was Philip that said to him, do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody come and explain it to me? And then Philip began to preach to this man about how that Christ had just come to the earth, the Messiah, lived and died for the remission of sin, and that all that we had to do was be baptized and believe on the Messiah. And the monk said he was a rich man because he was sitting in his Cadillac, or back in the day, chariots was considered Cadillac. This man was sitting in a chariot that he owned. So he was a rich man. When Philip gave him the good news of how the Messiah had come and that now we have to be baptized and believe on the Messiah, the monk said, there goes some water. What's hindering you from baptizing me? This is found in the book of Acts, Acts 8, 26 through 40. So the Ethiopian went and was baptized. Do y'all know what that man did after he was baptized? That Ethiopian monk went back to Ethiopia and established a church. We're talking about a few days after Christ was, you know, ascended. This man went and established a church. I know some of y'all listening now. That church is still around today. That church that he established is the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Do you have any idea what that means? That means that church is thousands of years older than the Catholic Church. Told you I had a bomb for you. So what does that mean? These people got an account of the gospel without all of that, you know, them taking away books of the Bible and all this. These people got a fresh account of what happened. As a matter of fact, that is where the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be, in the land of Ethiopia, supposedly. Not that we need the Ark of the Covenant thing. I mean, I'm not really fond on. I think the Most High now dwells in man, in man's heart, and by the Holy Spirit and all this. But I'm just saying they are boasting that they have the Ark of the Covenant. But what I want is y'all to look at all of the persecution that the scriptures went through when they went to Europe. We can bypass all that foolishness by getting the scriptures straight from the mouth of the Ethiopians. It never went through the perversion. It never went through the perversion. And them monks are serious. They have secrets that they sworn to die by. The Ethiopian monks is no joke. They have saints. They have saints. As a matter of fact, if you're on YouTube now, if you want to look up one of the saints, the most popular saints, it's called, I mean, y'all probably know this, those Rastafarians know what I'm about to say, Tekle Haminah is one of the Ethiopian saints, and he was a regular man like anybody else, but Tekle Haminah, let me spell his name. It's T-E-K-L-E, Tekle, T-E-K-L-E, Haminah, H-A-Y-M-A-N-O-T, H-A-Y-M-A-N-O-T. And the Rastafarians held this saint up there with any other saints. And this was a bad, bad saint right here. And this guy lived for real. It was one of the Ethiopian monks, very popular, very spiritual, miracles wrought by his hands. This man right here, this Tekle Haminah, was some kind of saint in the Coptic Church, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Y'all got to check this guy out, I'm telling you. The stories about Tekle Haminah is just hard to believe. You just don't believe. It sounds like Christ, some of the things he did. Of course, he did it under the inspiration of Christ, of the Messiah, of the Most High, just like Christ. This is not somebody to be worshipped. This is just somebody that followed Christ's example of how to please the Most High and became a very popular saint within the nation of Ethiopia. Tekle Haminah, lots of songs wrote by him. That's why I say the Rastafarians messed up with this smoking weed. Everybody kind of blow them off. And that's what Satan does. He always get us off on the wrong track, doing something stupid, and get a lot of people to fall and not listen to us. But they have a lot of truth, a lot of truth. But it's more than just Tekle Haminah. There's lots of saints under the Ethiopian dynasty. So anyway, what do y'all think of that? I want to hear some comments on there. But raise your hand in the chat room, on the phone lines, press one. Let me know what y'all think of that. I promise you this is truth all day long. But I'm just saying, you cannot listen to American preachers and expect to hear something about Tekle Haminah. And the Catholic Church definitely ain't going to blow a whistle for him, because they got their own saints, you know, Saint Francis what place he's from. But anyway, they got all these saints that they honor. But I'm telling you, Tekle Haminah, this has some miracles. I'll tell you one of the things I know he did. He would pray on one leg. And he would pray on one leg because of the flesh sake. You know, he felt like if I don't, You know, either I know if I stand on one leg, I'm not going to fall asleep. He just had little things he do to just get more closer, to be more spiritual, to be less worldly. You know, he was a monk to start out with. I mean, but this guy was really committed to hearing the voice of the Most High, and there were so many miracles. So many priests come up under Tekle Hamanot. It was no joke. Y'all got to go check this guy out, Tekle Hamanot. Again, the spelling of his name is T-E-K-L-E-M-A-N-O-T. Okay? But anyway, Ethiopia has so much glory. When I was walking around that Ethiopian museum, all I can think of, whenever I travel and I see things that's really amazing, I always say to myself, where is my friends at? Where are my relatives at? You know, my wife, I'd be wanting her to see stuff, and my kids, everybody I ever known, I'd be wishing they was there to see some of this stuff that's just mind-boggling. I'm telling y'all, you got to go to Ethiopia. I'm not doing it no justice. I'm told you, I'm very intimidated by this subject because there's so much information, and I'm just one person. I got 2 hours, and there's no way in the world. Somebody said, Brother Turner, too bad you didn't make a trip to Ethiopia with Kwesi. Oh, well, you know, Kwesi and them, they got the way they do things, and I probably should have went with Aswap Kwesi up there. You talking about Aswap Kwesi? I'm pretty sure you are. And I probably should have went with them. Now, what this person is saying, Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I, in the chat room, they're saying, too bad you didn't make a trip to Ethiopia with Kwesi. I think she's mentioning Aswap Kwesi, who used to be Dr. Ben's assistant. But they come from Ethiopian, they come from Egyptology type of approach, and that's good. I want to go and hear from their angle. I'm sure they got something to say about Ethiopia. But I like what I saw, too, I'm telling you. That little tour guide I had, man, he really, really just blew my mind. I mean, I knew that, though. That's why I went to Ethiopia. I knew that there would be some stuff that the West would not tell me. I went there, and I remember standing up on this hill, and I think I said this in my Facebook pictures. I think I typed this, what I'm about to say, but I said, this is what we say. This is the picture I think of when we say, I want to go back to Africa. You know, if you ever hear people say, man, we should go back to Africa. I wish I can go back to Africa. There are people that do still say that. And I was up on the mountains, and I was looking at this certain angle, and it was so beautiful. And I saw these young teenagers coming from school, and they was kind of scattered, like it'd be two here, one there, three here, four there. And they were so peaceful, and they was kind of playing a little bit. No violence, you know. It was very rural looking, and you could tell all of them must have little jobs to do at their farm. And it just reminded me of what we think of when we say, I wish I can go back home, so to speak. And everybody that ever made that statement, I wish could have seen that angle. Okay? Just one of those things I felt. And it was just so beautiful. But, you know, something very sad happened to me in Ethiopia is when I went into the Hilton Inn. I went into the Hilton Inn to just because, to be very honest with you, I wanted to eat. I wanted to see what Hilton had. I mean, I ate all around, and I knew when I went to the Hilton Inn, they were going to have the best of the Ethiopian food. I just knew how Hilton, they have a higher standard, and I knew there'd be a lot of probably some white people there, and I knew wherever white people go, the standard goes up. It's just racism. You can't run from it, and I just knew that. So I went to Hyatt. I mean, the Hilton. Well, I got more than I bargained for. It was worse than I thought. That place was so white, you'd have thought you was in Nashville or somewhere. I mean, folks, how do you get 500 or how many other people it was in that hotel, all white, in the middle of Africa? And then there was a lot of Chinese that was there. I was done when I saw Chinese people. I had no idea Chinese people even go to Africa, but I found out that a lot of Africans are owned by Chinese. Y'all know that? A lot, millions and millions of acres is owned by Chinese. A lot of Chinese corporations in Africa. Lots. I mean, we're talking about lots and lots and lots and lots. We always hear about white people. We never hear about the Chinese. They are there by the millions. I'm telling you what I know. And I just started asking questions, started being nosy, even after I came back, and started finding out, yeah, they're everywhere. Almost every African nation has Chinese companies owning this and owning that. It's the truth. So anyway, walked into the high regency, and I got my mind blew. I mean, they were everywhere. Whites were everywhere. And I mean to tell you, that food was off the chain, just like I thought. I mean, they had it laid out. I mean, they had, and then what I liked about it was the blacks, of course, ran the hotel. And that was a rare sight to see, you know. Just Ethiopia was a rare sight to see. The plane I came in on was flew by black pilots, black flight attendants, airport, totally ran by black young people. That was a culture shock right there. Because those black people, black young people I saw looked like the kind of young people here that would say to you, "What's up, my nigga?" or something. I mean, that's how they look. I'm being real. They was that young, that age bracket, around 25, 26, and they was running at airport. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about running at airport. And not just that, but they was running that country. I do mean running the country. And some of y'all might say, "Well, what's so odd about that, Seth?" You just don't see it in the United States. Everything is ran by white people. And that's no hatred. Y'all know how I flow. Ain't no hatred towards whites. It's just that I went through a culture shock in Ethiopia. So, anyway, the Hilton was ran by young black people. And they had that thing on tip-top looking really, really good. I was really proud of the way that they was running, not just the Hilton, but everywhere I went. So you got to go to Ethiopia. You got to go. I know Egypt get all the hype, but I just think we've been lied to about all the African countries. There's glory in every single one of them. I had a guy to tell me when a business meeting I was at, he was saying, "Man, you ain't seen nothing till you see the beaches of," I think he said, I forget what country. I forgot. But I think it was Uganda or something like that. But it was some country you hardly ever hear about. And I'm like, "Really?" He said, "You have not seen a beach." And this guy said he have been to, I've been to 24 countries, and that's not a lot to me. Now, I'm impressed with. He's been to, like, I think he said 70. That's a lot of countries. So this guy been all over Paris, everywhere, and he told me that the best beaches is in Africa. So that's what I'm trying to say. We've been lied to. They got all us running to the same place for entertainment. Let's look at the chat room, see what we got here going on. I Am Pick says, "Wow, that is the bomb of information. I see they have a Bible version." Have you read this, Brother Seth? Well, I didn't. I got a book right here from, I got it right here. Where is it at? It's called The Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And when I read it, it's a lot of rituals. And it is pretty foreign. You got to understand, I got so many books. To be very honest with you, I Am Epic. I haven't really digged as much as I probably should into the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. I do know this. They have the most images of the people in the book being people of color than any museum I've ever been to. Although it's weird, they have white images as well. And I asked the guy at the museum, "Why do y'all have these white images?" And he said, and I said it out loud where, you know, Europeans can hear me, because there'll be a lot of white people touring these museums as well. I mean, wouldn't that shock you? But it's the truth. He pulled me to the side and said, My brother, the reason we have this is because we want him to be for everybody." I say, "No, but," I say, "why would you do that? If y'all know the truth of how the people looked in the Bible, and Ethiopia having the history, why would you put these white images up of Christ and the Madonna and all that? And they said, white people come to their country and they get uncomfortable or they get upset if they don't see themselves in history. That's what this guy told me. Or in history in their museum. He told me these words, folks, if I'm lying, I'm flying. So when you look at Ethiopian art, you see all these black images, then you see a white pop up. That's why they're doing that. Man. You got that straight from the horse's mouth, I promise you. So anyway, make the long story short, moving right along. Ethiopia, I know how I sound to y'all. I sound probably cuckoo, but I'm telling y'all, you got to look into this. You don't have to go there. You can just go online and look at the Ethiopian museums and stuff. But here's P. Yankee said, no, Brother Turner, you have to eat in the chop shop. I think he's talking about eat with Aswa Kwesi because these brothers were deep in Egyptology. I think that's what he meant. That was great to see. An entire black flight crew decked in red uniforms. The stewards are so beautiful. Oh, he went there, so he knows what I'm talking about. Or she. I don't know if Pianca is here. He or she. But, yeah, I'm telling you, it was really, really, really an experience. I'm telling you. Now, I don't expect for my white brothers and sisters to get what we're talking about because they just don't get it. I mean, what's the big deal to see enough? But I think they would enjoy it, too, because I really think a lot of white people want to see black people prosper, and they want to see us running stuff. I don't think all white people want to just control everything. I don't believe that at all. I just can't believe that the Most High would make his creation that wicked. I do believe that a lot of white people would love to see what me and this person is talking about, but it was so beautiful, and they some beautiful people, I'm telling you. Y'all just don't know what I mean when I say beautiful. These folk was, you know, because they don't have really the overweightness. You know, a lot of people, they don't have that overweight issue, and it ain't because they starving to death. That's another thing I want to talk about. All this business about Ethiopians starving, I didn't see none of that. I didn't see no starving babies, and I tell you something funny happened. I asked one of the tour guides, the earlier tour guide, because I had several of them, I said, show me where the people are with the big ears, which you know how those big earlobes with the cup inside of them. And this cat just rolled laughing at me. He just thought that was the funniest thing. I made his day. And I said, what's so funny? He kept laughing. I said, what's so funny? He said, when you find these people with the big earlobes, with the, you know, the cup-looking thing inside of them and the mouth, the, you know, how they have it in their mouth. The, y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, let us know. He want to see them too. And he went on to explain to me, he said, my brother, that's some remote part of Ethiopia that most people haven't even seen. So what happens? We get these whites from European come there from Europe, and they go and find this little small tribe, and they put it on National Geographic. They put it on CNN, and they make you think there's thousands upon thousands of Ethiopians when that is not the case. So likewise do they do with the hunger thing. They show you these little babies dying with flies all in their mouth and stuff, and you think when you get there, as soon as the plane lands, you're going to have to, you know, that's not true. That, folks, that's just simply a lie. It really is, honest. Some of the most beautiful people on the planet is some of the most happiest people on the planet. They will make our people look sad. They're so happy. And I tell you one thing that kind of blew me away is they dress like the people in the Bible days. I remember looking at this one street, and it's a long, long street. As far as my eye could see, I could see all these women wrapped up in white. And I said, my, that looked like Israel. You got to see what I'm saying. Y'all got to see what I'm saying. Cancel your trips to Paris and France. They get enough tourist dollars anyway. It's time for them to crawl for a little bit. Or maybe not crawl, but just be humble a little bit. And take all your monies and start going to Africa. Go to some places. These planes are just as good as our planes. Flight attendants just as professional. Airports run just as good as ours. Some of these airports is better than ours while y'all playing. So anyway, I was just touched. Now, we don't want to get off subject. Okay, let's see here. I am Epic. Say, anyone else having a hard time hearing, Brother Seth? Got my volume turned all the way up and having trouble hearing. All right, yes. If anybody else is hearing me, please, please let me know, because my uncle told me the same thing that he couldn't hear. Now, I am Epic. I got another phone to my head right now as a check, because I always have two phone lines on, and I can hear myself fine. So I don't know what to say. If anybody else can't hear me in the chat room, just say, hey, can't hear you, or can't hear you. Pianki, can you hear me? And any other guests? So anyway, y'all, please let me know, because I don't want to be talking if people can't hear me. Let me check one other thing here and make sure we are looking at the phone lines, make sure nobody has their hand up. But what do y'all think of what I said so far? Well, we're talking about jewelry. We're talking about the true Jews, and I kind of got out talking about Ethiopia. But I'm telling you, these Rastafarians have a very valid point. You know, the Rastas believe that we are the they believe like we believe about Israel, that, you know, African-Americans is one of the lost tribes. And they get that. They claim that Haile Selassie is one of the first ones that blew the whistle on this, because I've never heard Haile Selassie's speech on who are the real Israelites. But they are definitely saying that Haile Selassie is one of the ones that blew the whistle as far as letting African Americans know that they're of the tribe of Judah, is what they claim, he said. I've never read that anywhere, but I wouldn't put it past Haile Selassie, because he was very bold. He didn't kiss up to Europeans and nobody else. He was a strong little man. That was a powerful little man. That's another thing, you know. Y'all need to really check out Haile Selassie. This man was a very rare, odd man. I mean, he had a lion for his pet, and then a little dog, and I think maybe some other things. But Haile Selassie and his parents, these people was off the chain. I mean, they were something else. I mean, he had one of his grandmother. But I remember this picture. When you go into this museum, she is on a horse going into battle with a six shooter in her hand. I don't know if they had six shooters back then, but she had a pistol. And you had to look. You need to see the look on her face. And the way they wore their hair with braids, Ethiopians wear those braids like nobody does. And, I mean, you got to go and check out some of these arts and culture, the culture in Ethiopia. How about this? And I know we were talking about the black Jews. I understand that, but I'm just going down different roads here. But I tell you another thing, is just to go to Ethiopia and see black bulletin boards full of black people with clothes on, smiling. I mean, that might seem so insignificant, but folks, again, culture shock, I never see it. I mean, we see black people every once in a while on billboards, but not like Ethiopia. They got thousands of billboards with black folks with clothes on. There is no naked people in Ethiopia on their boards. There's no advertising of women showing flesh. It's a very religious people, but at the same time, the advertising is enough to get the message across. But anyway, the Falashian Jews, the Beta Israel, is no joke. These people have a long, long history of fighting for the land of Israel. The Ethiopian Jews, they call themselves Beta Israel. They do not like to be called Falashians. If you ever meet one, don't call them no Falashian. That's insulting. That's what the enemies call them, okay? But they've been fighting, and as a matter of fact, I'm gonna post this thing so those of you in the chat room, you're gonna get a little treat. I'm gonna post this really quickly in the description on the description page of something that I found on that very, very accurate as to the history of the Beta Israel. But they was airlifted by the Israeli government. They was airlifted by the Israeli government. And y'all have got to understand, I don't think it was a good thing. Everybody think Israel was such a nice, nice nation to airlift those Jews, those real Israelites from, I mean, those real Jews from the, because they was from the tribe of Judah for real. Airlifted them, it was an operation called Operation Moses and Operation Solomon, where they went in, took these big jumbo planes in there, and they brought the people from Ethiopia to Israel. But y'all got to hear how they're treating those people. If you hear how they're treating those people, you'll understand what I'm about to do. I'm about to play a video, and you'll understand this little audio better if you actually went to Israel and saw the state of these people. It is not pretty, folks. Listen to your brother. It's not pretty. Those people in Israel is going through hell. As a matter of fact, the Ethiopian Jews that was airlifted there, actually have the highest suicide rate. They brought those black Jews to Africa. Because the people in Dimona, Israel, our brothers and sisters in Dimona, that call themselves Israelites, that claim to be Jews or true Israelites, they come from America, black people. I think Israel, you know, there was pressure put on Israel with, you got 3,000 of them from Dimona in the land saying they're Israel. And, you know, the Bible, everybody knows the Bible said that a remnant is going to come from Israel from all, a remnant is going to return home from Israel, I mean from the place of their captivity to Israel from all four corners. When the Most High scattered Israel, his people, through all four corners of the earth, he said one day he would bring a remnant of them home. So the Israelis have this, I'm sure it was bugging them, they got to do something. So they went and found these people. Now the Falashians or the Beta Israelites have become, you know, they're not as like the people in Dimona. The people in Dimona are demanding and aggressive. Well, the Beta Israel, these are people that live in, you know, rural areas of Ethiopia. So they went and grabbed them and airlifted thousands of them to Jerusalem. And it was a big deal, and Israel came out looking like they was the great heroes. But you got to understand what was it all about. The CIA was involved in it too. So you know anytime CIA and the Israeli government is teaming up to do something, it can't be good. Well, right now, from what I understand from my brothers and sisters that live in the land, Ethiopian Jews have the highest suicide rate in the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, they identify more now with African blacks. Some of them now listen to rap music, just looking for a place of belonging, if you will. You know, looking for rebelling against the faith of their forefathers because they're treated so badly in Israel. So they reach out to the rap culture, and U.S. blacks and the whole struggle that we go through, that's where the Falashians' minds are at, or the Beta Israel minds are at right now. I mean, a lot of them. I'm serious. Not to mention that the first thing happened was they threw them in their Israeli army. So the Ethiopians, when you go to Israel and you see the army, they're everywhere. The young people is everywhere with these big old guns. That's the one thing I hate about Israel. I mean, they're everywhere. Everywhere there's young people, there they are with these guns. Instead of young people holding their cell phone like they do in the United States, every time you look at a young person, there they are with their cell phone, their head bent down. Well, in Israel, They're holding an AK. They all got these guns. It's the craziest thing. Instead of holding a cell phone, they got these guns. They're talking to their little girlfriend. They're hugging their little girlfriend. Their girlfriend got a gun. They got a gun. All the young people have guns. It's the craziest thing you ever seen. Y'all think I'm kidding, don't you? All the young people, when they become 18, they have to become either, make a decision of becoming a priest or joining the Israeli army. So when you go there, all of the young people goes to service, goes to the army. So what I'm saying is, they just threw, I got a mental picture of that, and my mind went back. And I just remember going through those checkpoints with these little young people. They all look like they're about 15, 16 years old with these big guns. Just go to show you they're forcing their way. The powers that be have these young people forcing their way as a nation. That you have to have your young people so involved in the military, you're forcing your way. Anyway, the Ethiopians are also part of that army. And guess who else is? Our brothers and sisters in Dimona. And if I ever disagree with them on something, that is the one thing I vehemently disagree with them on. They know I still love them. But boy, we don't have no business in no Israeli army. For real. Anyway, talking about the Beta Israel, talking about Hebrewism among the black nation of Ethiopia. My. Won't y'all listen to a clip? This is going to disturb y'all. Heard me talk about the whole thing about how they're oppressed in Israel, and you think Brother Seth just sitting up here making up stuff, don't you? Well, I know some of y'all don't think that, but anyway, I want y'all to check this out. This is I'm going to play you a clip of this is an audio kind of giving you some facts about what exactly is going on with the people in Israel, with regard to the Ethiopians. This is going to be an eye-opener. Don't get angry. Don't get full of hatred, y'all. We love everybody. We know that the enemy, the white man, the enemy is the world, worldliness, the flesh, and Satan. But we don't hate nobody. But y'all need to hear what they're doing to our brothers and sisters in the land of Israel. I'm talking about the so-called Beta Israel. All right? So I'm trying to cue this up, and I'm having a hard time. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Hold on 1 second. I don't know. I cannot stand Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry. I just can't stand it. Blog Talk Radio. I tell you, I have the hardest time loading up things. But I got this video I want y'all to hear, and I got to play it with their system, because if I play with my system, y'all really ain't going to hear. Since y'all can't hear me anyway tonight. So anyway, while I'm waiting on this to finish loading up, I'm just going to go ahead and just talk about this a little bit, what I'm about to play. What I'm about to play here is a clip. Hold on, we got a question. Let's get the question. Area code 34381. Go ahead, my brother or my sister, you're on there with your comment or question. Go right ahead.
No, this is Pianchi. I've been here listening to you for a while. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, my brother. doing okay. I see you posting some good stuff there. So you know Aswar Kwesi, you follow him?
Oh, yeah, I know him very well. I've spent 8 years from Cairo down the southern Sudan border, northern Sudan border, going in and out of Temple.
Yeah, he's from Dallas. He still lives in Dallas?
Yeah, he's been over there for 31 years. I went over there for at least eight. He's done his 31st year just last year.
Hold on. What do you mean 31 years?
Kwesi has been taking tours over there for 31 years.
Got to
Did you know that?
Are
31
you
years. Last year was his 31st year. I know I went with him. I went in that area for 8 years, you know, back and forth. And he also does Ethiopia. And a couple of times he went down as far as down. They took a trip down into Jinka, which is the deep southern part of Ethiopia where people have been living there for the same way for like thousands of years. But,
out of curiosity, well, you can go ahead with your comments, but I want to ask you a question about what his take is on Ethiopia, having been there so many years. I know I just would love to know what he got to say about that. But go ahead with what you
want
to say.
Go ahead and ask your question.
What do he think of the state of Israel and their claims? And what do Mr. Kwesi think of that? I know Dr. Ben got a book out saying, now, by the way, folks, Dr. Ben is Aswar Kwesi's mentor. I mean, he was initially. He used to work for him. Then he got so, you know, savvy and knowledgeable, he began to start doing his own thing. But he come up under Dr. Ben Yochanan, one of the great minds of African-American geniuses out there, one of our scholars, Dr. Ben. So now we got Dr. Kwesi who does these tours. But go ahead. I would love to know what he have to say about the Beta Israel.
Well, you can't. Did you stay in the hotel there in Gondor? And when you come out, you turn to the right and go up to the turn to the left and go up to the Beit Israel village. Did you go there by chance?
No, I didn't go to Gondor. I just went to Addis Ababa.
Yeah.
I went in the surrounding areas. I went in the surrounding areas in Addis Ababa. I mean, it's got me everywhere, but I didn't go way up north or way up anywhere. Probably a 100-mile radius is what we stayed pretty much in Addis Ababa. I don't know if you know, it's a lot to see within 100 miles, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, when I went there, I went all the way down to Bar Hadar, all the way down to Lake Tana, where the falls are, and Askum, and there's one place where you had to go up to the top of this mountain. You had to go around the mountain about 8 times to get to the top. That's very beautiful up there. But Gondor is where they are there today. And you talk about Operation Solomon, and I can't think of the other one, where the state of Israel.
Operation Solomon and Operation Moses.
Moses, yeah, you're right. And what they, well, you know, it's typical white supremacy. They brought those people back in that area. Now they're living in projects. You know, like you say, they treated like dogs. It's just typical, you know, typical what happens when you get around white supremacists. Now, see, the Beit Israel, they only follow the books of Moses. They don't go into the New Testament. And some of my Hebrew brothers, I have a issue with them. When they mention about the Hebrews and Jews, there's a difference between Hebrews and Jews. And, you know, the Jews are IU because there wasn't no J. Those are the people that lived in Judea. And if you ever get an opportunity to go to Egypt, I wish you could, and do the studying about the 20th.
I've been to Egypt. I didn't do like no Dr. Kwesi do. I didn't do what y'all do, but I went to Cairo. I saw a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one you need to do to take this trip. But, you know, the 25th dynasty under Shabaka and Taharqa, where Taharqa and Shabiko, you know, when they defeated the Assyrians, and in 2 Kings 19:35 is where they denigrated the history of black African people when they replaced it, you know, one of those Sultans and replaced him with the angel of the Lord. But that was Cushites that defeated the Senate, the Assyrians being led under Sennacherib. Now, you know, you talked about the Ark of the Covenant. That was many arcs. There was an Ark of Heru, the Ark of Amun, the Ark of Aset. And the Ark was basically when these nations went into battle, they went into battle following their gods. And the Assyrians was following Ashur, and of course the Cushites was following Amun. And
Amun-Ra?
Well, Amun, it wasn't Amun-Ra, it was Amun. Amun was the god fig, godhead in the southern region, in the southern part. Amun-Ra was the godhead there in what's called Anun or Heliopolis, which is there, that area where we call Cairo there at one time was called On, or, you know, the Greeks call it Heliopolis. And that's where the two gods, Ra and Amun, came together, and they worshipped them there. Also, Ptah was worshipped there early on before it all. But this is real historical, brother, when we talk about the 25th dynasty and the battles that they waged in order to try to expel and take control of the northern areas all the way over into, you know, what's now called, you know, the Hittite land of Jerusalem and so forth. But, you know, you got to do a little bit more. We got to do a little bit more study in that area to really get the truth, because there's a difference between Hebrews and Jews all day long. And
okay, well, give me a few, just a couple here. What's the difference?
Well, we really don't. I don't want to take up all your show, but I like to, you know, you can reach me, or I can talk to you on it. I don't want to take all of your show on it, but people got to do this studying on it, like you say, and, you know, find out. But see, here's the point. Black Cushite soldiers would not have went to Jerusalem at that particular time and fought off the Sennacherib in order to save their kith and kin. And that's exactly what they did, because when they, Taharqa let them come down into an area that's called Ibit now, or now it's called, I'm sorry, at that time it was called Ibit or Elephantine there in Aswan, and they stayed there in Aswan for a period of time before they went on down into Gondor, Ethiopia, where they are today.
Let me ask you a question. Dr. Ben has a book called We the Black Jews Do Testify to the White Jewish Myth. We the Black Jews Do Testify to the White Jewish Myth. And this is Dr. Quasi's mentor.
Yeah.
Now, what angle is he coming from? Because this show is about...
Well, he's coming from a stronger angle. You had a group of people that began to change things around. And Yahwehism preceded Judaism, which preceded Christianity, which preceded Islam. If it hadn't been for that battle, you probably wouldn't have had none of those religions today as we know them, because the Assyrians would have wiped them out.
Wait a minute, what's Yahwehism?
Yahwehism is when they created Yah. Yah was a local god of no importance at that particular time. And it's around 701, 700 before the Common Era.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Yahweh? Do you believe in a supreme being? Now, Dr. John Henry Clark, and I'm quoting these people because I want folks to know who they are. This is called The Father of Black History, won his title. He says that the pyramids was not about multiple gods, that the pyramids, at the top of those pyramids, they had structures to one higher being. It was all, I forget the name, not Paula, help me out here, my brother. One god is mono, multiple gods is polymistic. Help me out.
Well, God, you know, this monotheism is
something.
Yeah, it was this group that you call Hebrews that came in and said that it was one almighty powerful God. Before then, you know, the Akhenaten had a little bit of that idea too during his reign. But, you know, going back during the time that the pyramids was built, you know, you talk, see, those kings, you know, those kings or those sultans, they had, their name was applied to the deity that they worship at that time. You know, our history goes back further than the time period that we're talking about, this battle that occurred there for the rescue of Jerusalem. You know, when Ramesh defeated the Hittites over around Turkey, close to Turkey at the Arandis River. You know, that was a true battle. He led four divisions. One division was Amun, one was Set, one was Ptah, and the other was Heru. Each of them had 10,000 troops apiece. And nobody never talks about those battles. And look at look at the names that they had. You know, his name was Ursima, Atra, Septepenra, Rameshu, Mary, Amen. You know, Amen meant that they was worshiping Amen at that time. Yeah, that's a powerful name. And the translated what it means is a whole different story. You got had Menkheperra, Tahuti, Mase, Thutmose III, who fought up in that area at Megiddo. And he done a whoop. Megiddo means hill, by the way. And he done such a devastating whooping on those people that they said this is what the end of the world would look like. They call it Armageddon. And I mean, these are real historical people, and we don't want to galvanate to those times. These were black folks. They come out of the South. They didn't come out of what's called Alexander today. But by the time,
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, and I do want to talk with you even out off the air, because it's very interesting information you're sharing. But let me ask you a question. In your research, I have an uncle that would love to hear from you, because we get into it all the time. He don't call himself an Egyptologist, but I think he is. But anyway, first of all, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you were a little low. I think you're tired.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, what do you call yourself? I mean, do you believe in Yahweh?
No, I don't believe in Yahweh. I don't believe in the gods of the Bible, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because I have had the opportunity to go back in history and see where these things came about and who brought them about, and I can see how they got it. You know, the Greeks came to Africa to learn. If you look at the alphabet, you look at the language, you know, the language and the alphabet, you had to have an alphabet to write. They didn't have no schools. They had to come to school. So they had to learn from what was going on there in what we call today Egypt. That's where all the universities were. I mean, a child went into Ephesus there in Luxor at the age of 7, wouldn't come out until he was 47. He was a master teacher.
Okay, so let me ask you, let me put it to you like this. We got millions of people with millions of encounters with this God. Now, Romans 2 talks about people that don't know anything about the law, but they have the conscience. And these people are going to be judged by the Almighty, the Most High, by their conscience, because their conscience is excusing them, or it's leading them. And it talks about how a lot of them are gonna basically make it in or be a part of the salvaged ones because they follow their conscience. So, having said that, here the Bible is saying that there's people that don't know any of this, and they can make it in by their conscience. They actually do have a law written on their heart. So my question to you is this. There are people out here with all types of miracles and things that have happened in their life. You're going to come along. You might not do this, but a lot of people come along, And you're going to tell them their God is not real. And if you studied and you found these things out, you should do what you're doing. But I'm just saying to you, what are you replacing it with? What are you replacing it? Keep in mind, some of these people is on drugs. Some of these people have some serious testimonies. And most Egyptologists and most people I know, they got a whole lot of things. I got one friend, and I'm not going to call her name out because you probably know her. And she says, Seth, you don't go back further enough. My argument with her is, just because my great-great-grandmother lived before my mother does not mean that what my mother is telling me is not true. The further you go back, the more you can get it wrong. The further you go back, the more. I know people say, that's crazy. You should always want to go back further and further and further. Yeah, if it's scriptures, if it's something, holy books, holy writings. But when you start talking about Egyptology, there's a whole. Egyptology is not as solid as people try to make it. Like, everything is just. There's a whole lot of factions of that, too. There's a whole lot of disagreement. There's a whole lot of fuzziness. There's a whole lot of unanswered questions. My question to you is, and I know you're going to give me a good answer here, is what do you believe in and what do you give people if you're going to take back something that has sustained them all their life?
Well, I don't try to take anything from people and myself other than, you know, I'm still in my grandchildren, my grandson and my daughter, they don't believe in, you know, God, especially gods of the Bible. But this is the point. If our people was as strong and as achieving as they were at the period in time in history, and the things that they laid out, which much of today's society gets this foundation from, and we know what we have achieved here in this part of the world in the last, you know, since we were brought here in first time in 1555. If we were to compare the two, which one has the most glory? I asked that question.
Okay. I agree with you 100%. It will be the ancient.
And see, the thing I like about you, and I really don't, you know, I guess sometimes I get into discussions with this and sometimes I just listen. But if I hear somebody say something disparaging about, you know, what we call Egypt, I always jump in there and say, no, that's not true. But you have went back, but you haven't went back far enough. Because you diddling in and out, and I listen to you. Nothing wrong with that. And I can hear the passion in your voice, and I know that you have had some reawakening, but you got to go all the way back. And then you would be able to see it. You'd be able to walk forward from there. You're right. You see, you almost back. See, the book that y'all read, I've walked through those books. And many other people have walked through those books, too. It's one thing to read, but when you walk through those books, and then your genetic memory bank begins to kick in, something that has been, you know, stymied or, you know, had cold water thrown on it, begins to turn on, and you begin to see, and you can't do it in no one time. It takes time to put all this stuff together because the first time you see it, you're going to be in awe. You're going to cry. I've seen people break down in tears. It was, you know, something is, you know, the calendars then had 10-day weeks. They didn't have no 7-day weeks. And I have seen calendars that record a time of 25,900 years, which is a great year. Now, for them to get that right, they would have to study the movement of the sun through what they call today the constellations at least twice. I've been on excavation that dates back 65,000 years down around Hadi Wafa, which is, you know, the deep south. So, you know, you're absolutely right when you mentioned that we've been lied and we continue to be lied on. But, you know, people have to grasp to something because they're afraid. People are afraid of the unknown, and they need that pacifier. But when you can take all those clothes off and get that butt naked like you originally was when you came into the world, then you can begin to see things a whole lot better.
Let me share some with you, and this is the number one reason why I can go so far with Egyptology, and then they just can't dig out themselves out of one hole. And here's the thing that I respect people that study. I respect people like you. That's why I say don't run, stay with me, let's talk afterwards. And because I really think that what you're saying has some whole water to some degree. But here's what gets me. You got a people that don't have no clue of the Bible. They may know John 3:16 or some of the popular Bible verses, but they don't know about Deuteronomy and how the Most High said that Israel would do this, Israel would do that, Israel would do this, Israel would do that. Now, here's a people, 40 million strong. Now, that's just in America, because I believe Israel was dispersed throughout the four corners. But I don't think it's just African Americans, the only ones that are Israel. I think there's 12 tribes. Now, watch this. These people are literally living out these prophecies, these specific, detailed prophecies. They're living them out. They have no clue that this book said that they would behave like this. When you ask white America, they don't have a clue either. We read these scriptures. Now, hold on.
I read those scriptures.
What I'm saying is, I talk with my friends in Cincinnati, where a lot of the Egyptologists, my friends, live, and I say, can y'all explain to me how is it our life in America mirrors the prophecies of the Bible? Not every people can say, well, everybody go through stuff. Everybody live. No, everybody don't wear this slipper. So when I see that has life. What you're saying with the whole Egyptology piece, it's just religion. It's just...
No, it wasn't religion.
Hold on. It's something that sounds good, and I'm sure I would assume, because I don't think you're a liar, if I go and research this, maybe some of it do have points. But I'm saying you can understand where I'm coming from.
I understand where you're coming from.
I'm looking at a living book. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me hit on those points before you go too far. And we would have to discuss, but we can't. See, the problem that happens is that people sometimes in the discussion, they be spanning hundreds of years at one time, and it's kind of difficult to keep up on that. But it wasn't a religion, it was a culture at the time. One of the questions that anybody have is, who in the heck am I, where am I, and where did I come from? And that's not no different. It was no different. It was something that was predominant then at that time. Now, of course, we pretty much know and have an idea, how we got to where we are. But then people used to wonder, where in the world are we, where we come from, so on, so on, so on. So what they would do, they would begin to write a history for themselves. It's just today, if you was to build an automobile and you go in your garage, you wouldn't build a Model T Ford. You would build off of what's presently here. So that's exactly what they did. They borrow and they converted and they, change in order to make up something that fits them. I mean, the God of the Old Testament is not for everybody. That guy was a particular guy for a particular people. It's not about religion, and it's not historical neither, because I just gave you an example of why come it's not historical. You mentioned the prophets. The prophet Isaiah got it wrong, because he went to Hezekiah begging. He walked around butt naked and so forth, because Hezekiah was trying to make an allegiance with the Egyptians to fight off the Assyrians. And Isaiah had prophesied, said, look at what they have done. This is what's going to happen to us. So he got it wrong. He wasn't a prophet. It's easy to write what's going to happen after it's happened. So there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just human nature. It's the way people do things. But what I'm saying is that black people have a history.
I want you to be a little bit more specific. I say that in the years to come, there is gonna people be a people, and they all gonna wear purple shoes and red hats. They have no clue of this Bible verse. And one day, 40 million people decide they're gonna wear red hats, whatever I said, purple shoes or whatever I said. They are acting out the scriptures. But if you go to them and say, hey, do you know about this? They have no clue. Isaiah 51 and 20, your young men have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. They lie at the head of all the streets as wild bulls and goats. Everybody don't lie at the head of the street or stand at the head of the street or even at the head of the street. A lot of people, a lot of coaches don't have nothing to do with the head of the street. Their young people is movers and shakers and moving. They're not in the streets. They're definitely not in no corners. But in ancient time, the Israel had a problem with their young men having fainted in their hearts and minds, and they was hanging out at the head of the streets. It goes on to say that you're going to be put in ships and sold as slaves. Every nation was not put in ships and sold as slaves, taken back to an Egypt.
Well,
hold on. There's over, my brother, there's over 300 prophecies that we walk out to the T.
All right, now stop right there.
I want to definitely hear from you. You're going to get the mic for sure. But I'm saying, come on, 300 prophecies. Nobody else is living these out unless they're our brothers and sisters scattered. They're one of those 12 tribes. Now, this is what I've been saying for over, I know, at least 15 years to my Hebrew, my Egyptology. And they just kind of like, well, you know, I'm saying, you can't tell me that don't. If somebody's named three distinct characteristics of a people, and them people come along and they don't even read that part, they don't even know nothing about that, they really don't know nothing about it for real, and they're living this out, and their oppressors don't even really know this, and they are fulfilling prophecy themselves. The Most High said that he will bring a nation from the north to occupy Israel. The Most High said, out of the north a whirlwind come. The Most High said, out of the north a wicked nation come. He even said that this new nation was going to gather captivity as the sand. He called them his army. He said, I'm going to call them. These people, these scriptures are fulfilling themselves. They take on life.
Well, what,
now, what
you're
saying,
been,
what you're
what
saying.
What nation is being occupied now from people of the north?
What nation is being occupied now by the people of the north? All the nations
right.
of the world is being occupied by the people of the north. But Joel, too, had already laid that out, that he would call a nation from the north, and before them would be like the Garden of Eden, and after them would be like a wilderness. Nobody would escape these people. Never have there ever been a people like this before them. Never will there be like a people like this after them. Goes on to say they run up the walls. They like horsemen. They will
yeah,
not
but who ran? Who ran those people? Who chased those people back to the north? Was it not Kemetic?
I don't know if they've been chased,
that
back,
chased
to
them back to the north. Pardon me?
I don't know that they've been chased back to the north. I know Saladin.
Well, but see, that's what a lady told you that you don't go back for enough.
But listen, what I'm saying to you, my brother, hear me out. I hear what you're saying, and that argument is gonna always last. But I can say to y'all, if y'all want to play that game of going back further enough, and I mean, it's a friendly way. You got a good heart. You got a good spirit. I love talking to you. You're not argumentative, so I didn't mean that in no derogatory way.
I mean,
but if you want to go back further, let's just go all the way back then and say, okay, let's go back to Eden. I mean, you probably say, well, I don't believe in Eden. But I'm saying, when you want to go back,
if there was a,
why go back to Egypt?
A, if there was an Eden, you know, there was two Ethiopias, right? Then they said there was an Ethiopia to the east, and that was the one that they took, that the they took and put there in between the Tigris and Mesopotamia, which was put there by the Ashkenazi Jews. They created that Eden that we talk about today. The Greeks said there was two Edens, Ethiopia. I mean, if there was an Eden, as we call it, it had to begin there where the oldest remains of human life has ever been found. And that's there in Central Africa.
What I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is this, Pianki, right? Pronounce your name.
My name is Pianki.
Pianki.
Remember, name reflects land, history, and culture.
Okay. Jay Knox asked if this show is going to go on past 1:30, and I don't know yet, but we'll play it by ear. And we got another comment here. I just, you know, just now realized somebody else had their hand up. So let them in here in a second. But all I'm saying to
you
is...
Yeah, let them in. I'll stay on here with you. I don't have anything to do.
Okay. But what I'm saying to you is...
But we can't get argument.
Hold on. There is always somebody. A Hindu can come on the line right now and start talking about the conscience and the state of the conscience and just go past all of us. He can say, well, it ain't even matter about who won. It don't matter about Egypt. It don't matter about who had this first. It don't matter about... The Hindu can go to another level and start talking about the conscious and the spiritual realm and where all thoughts come from and where all wars come from and then just encompass all of us. What am I trying to say? I'm saying what I like about what I try to do is I serve a real Elohim or a real God or a real I present things that's like in your face, like this was said to happen to us. I got a book that says you're going
to
be holding a cup of coffee. Hold on. I got a book that says you're going to be holding a cup of coffee with a mat with a newspaper with your shorts on. That's where I live. Now, you might say, well, I don't need that. I just want to go back further. You can go back further, but you can't deny that you ain't holding this paper with a cup of coffee with your shorts on. I'm saying, okay, you might have a deeper truth, but, hey, this book says you're going
to
go.
But you got the ability to drop that paper, cup of coffee and that paper on the ground and leave it alone, don't you?
No, what I'm saying is, the book got to be real to even know I'm going to be doing it now. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm going off of, let me see what this next caller going to say. 708-903, caller, you on the air. I'm so anxious to hear what you got to say. Go right ahead.
Shalom, Israel. Brother Self in there, even, because I don't want to say no insult, but brother, you're going deep, but deep. You can go so deep and you go so far, you go on the other side of foolishness. I'm not saying it. Basically, I'm going to say what it is. You never ask you about what God you worship or what you follow. You never answer that question. The Bible says, study yourself to be show yourself approved. When a man asks you a question, you're supposed to be able to answer it.
All right, you know, you talking to me. Well, wait a minute now. Here's the point. Here's the problem.
I'm sorry.
Let me say one thing, because apparently you're talking to myself. When you ask these questions, you ask 100 questions. Just ask one question. Do you understand? You see how complicated it is? If I was to put 5 pennies in your hand and all of a sudden dump a bucket of pennies in your hand and tell you how many you have, you couldn't do it all at one time. If I put 3 in your hand at a time, it's easy. But when you throw a whole bucket, it's difficult. But y'all keep bringing these questions, questions. Then they span 1,000 years period. Come with one. Now, you ask me what do I believe in.
Hold on. Just because, let me interrupt you, but we got 60 seconds. I just want to invite everybody, please call the phone line. We're going to continue probably for another 15 minutes or so. Again, call the 760-283-0838 because we're going to get to the bottom of this, try to at least, okay? We're going to stay tuned for a while. All right, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, as I was saying before, the oldest mention of a god, if you go back when they first started coming up with a story of creation, that was Ptah. Ptah created all the lesser gods, which would include anyone that came after him. Now, I ask this, why come when those people at that particular time in history wrote that, what gives them any less legitimacy than what we try to put on people today? Why come they could not be the number one as they should be?
Well, hold on. Well, who created Ptah?
I said this. The oldest story of a creator god is Ptah. And when you read your creation stories today, you can see where they copied off of that.
Okay, all I'm asking you is who created Ptah?
The people of that time period.
Question.
Who created the people of that time period? Okay, hold on a second. Who created the people of that time period?
People coming out of Central Africa, and they came into that part of the world, bringing their experiences and everything that they had along the way, and it all came together right at that time.
I'm asking you, and I appreciate you, you know, your manner and everything, but I'm asking you a specific question. Who created those people?
Those people believe that Ptah created them. If that's what you're talking about. That's what they believed. That was their story.
I'm asking you, the scholar. You have scholared what you learned.
I just told you that those people wrote a creation story that said, this is how we got to here to where we are. God created the universe. Wait a minute, let me finish. Now you keep stopping me. The God who created the universe is Ptah. And, you know, even today, scientists tell you there's more than one universe.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I'm letting you talk, and I'm both of y'all. I want both of y'all chime in, but I'm going to ask you a specific.
I hear you thinking, but you got to think. How can you disregard what these people were doing, you know, thousands of years before what we have gathered today? And I ain't saying what you're doing today is wrong. What I'm just saying is that, and you really want to get down and have a discussion about it, you cannot take something, we can't take the story of Louis Farrakhan and use it and say that he is better than Elijah Muhammad, who came before him. Or can we say that Elijah Muhammad was better than Marcus Garvey? You understand? You see what I'm saying?
What I'm asking you is if the people say Ptah created him, all right, maybe the name of the Most High is Ptah. All right, you still proving my point.
Hold on.
Who is the supreme being in your life? I don't mean to be personal, but who is at the top of 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 your life?
I don't have no supreme being in my life.
Okay,
and
now hold on. What happened
really,
to Ptah? Hold on. I'm really letting you talk, but I'm asking you pointed questions, and I know you've researched all this stuff to where you got these answers. So I'm saying, who is supreme in your life? Who is the Ptah of your life?
If I was to go back to a creation story, a creator God, it would have to be him. Because
okay, now we have a creation story.
That's the God that black African people put forth at that time. That every other, it was no Greeks then.
Okay, now I follow you. I'm down with Ptah. All I'm asking you is, with regards to Ptah, let's fine tune this Ptah. So he was, you believe he would, is he real or not?
Was he real or not? Well, let me tell you what happened and what have happened. For instance, like Asar Hasset and Heru, which was supposed to have been the first Trinity. The first resurrected God was the story of Asar, which the Greeks call Osiris. Those people were for real people. They was people that was at that time coming out of deep southern Ethiopia, because you know that the northern areas above the 30th degree latitude was under ice. When that part of the world was under ice, Central Equatorial Africa was thriving. So these people come out of deep southern Ethiopia who apparently done some wonderful things. Their people legendized them, and sooner or later they became deified into what we have today. Just like
what
the story
I'm saying to you, what I'm saying to you, and I think the caller is still on the line, I think what I would like for you to do is you studied and you, in order to take away something, I would think you replace it with something. Who created you? Where you come from?
Human life comes out of Central Africa. That's where the oldest remains of human beings ever been found.
You come from
where
Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
You
were
there. No, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was something that was, it was basically something that came much later, and they was they
he
was centralized
first.
Around
He's
one
Alpha
people.
And Omega.
Well, sir,
he was there
look,
four
I'm not
times.
Argue.
I'm
not going to argue
I'm
with
just
you.
I'm giving you facts because what you.
I mean.
I'm not trying to insult you. I appreciate you for your research, but that's what I do now. I research every day of my life because that's what the word says, study so myself approved. So when a person give me a question, if I can't answer, I must come back to them with the answer. And what you're doing, I'm pretty sure it's not an insult.
Well, you said Abraham. Let's go back with Abraham. Abraham came from Chaldea, the area that's called Chaldea.
He
would have been a Chaldean.
Does not make him.
He would have been a Chaldean. And then we're trying to say that all black people come out of the progenation of Jacob and Esau was supposed to have been white. Is that what we're saying?
What you're following is Ham Seed. Ham Seed had many gods. The Most High was one God. He begat a son, and he had a spirit. So that there's no such thing as a triune God.
Yeah, but
that's
see, the Ham story was created at the Council of Jambia in 90 A.D. by some, by a group of Jews, basically. They created the story that put the curse on the grandson of Cana. Ham,
yeah,
Cana.
Son of Cush.
That was a story that was created at the Council of Jambia in 90 A.D. Before then, there was no story like that. After then, it came about just the same way that in 325 at the Council of Nicaea, that you see this Christ image coming out of being created by the Ptolemies and so forth. But I don't like to get into these arguments with folks because
I'm not even. Hey, this what see when you
that's
are
what you,
of our faith and understanding. You don't argue. You come to one accord and one understanding, so we can grow on it. So if you never get understanding, say if you believe there's no so-called God, so basically you feel like you self-procreated yourself, which is if you think about it. You made your mother's mother, your father's father, and your father's father. So basically, if you don't believe there's an ultimate higher being, then you're a God yourself. You're the ultimate God. You are Pua, I don't know how you say it, Pua, Puta. You created everything.
Well,
other than that, it must have been a starting point, and it's something that
well,
for a firecracker to go off, somebody has to have a match. So for that, some lit the match to start the firecracker to go off. So whatever lit that match, that still exists now. And
well, you don't have to have a match to make gunpowder go off, but go ahead.
Well, a lightning source, a source of something to take potential into kinetic. So from the potential, which is
you
the
got
most
God.
After, the
you
most
have,
after.
You have what you call God within you.
I understand it. And the word tells you that, too. The word also tells you that God
in you.
Everything
that's in you is found in the universe. These things come together in order to make the substance that you see when you look in the mirror and you see. If you were if they cremate your body, nothing about you is destroyed. It just goes into another different shape, another different form.
Well, I see your spirit ain't destroyed. Your soul is perished. Your soul and your flesh perishes away and becomes a part of, like, I'm going to go non-biblical. It becomes a part of the universe, the cosmos. But the point is, the cosmos starter or the universe starter, it had to be a starter of the universe. Before there was the earth, it was a universe. Before there was the sun, there was a creator of the sun, the moon, the stars, whatever else you want to call on. Because basically, if you fall like this, if you have no creator and you have many understandings or higher beings that you understand with, then you easy to fall. When you stand on the truth, and basically, that's why I say we stand on the truth. Because you ask us a question,
no,
we
well,
give
the
you
truth
the answer.
The truth was called the Makaru. The truth was
what
you call the truth was called the Makaru. The people that laid out and what they called it at that time, that particular theology was called the Shittat Netter. Out of the Shittat Netter, you get all the concepts of your gods, whether it's Elohim, whether it's Buddha, whether it's whoever. They all come out of the Shittat Netter. That's their beginning.
Let me jump in and say something real quick. If I may, just real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm listening and I picked up on something. I want y'all to tell me what y'all think. Is this Brother Gabriel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is what I picked up. I noticed, and I have to give the brother Tianqi, if I'm pronouncing your name right. Give me if I don't, man. I'm just not good with names. That's all there is to it.
Yes, all right.
I really respect what you're doing. I really do. But I'm going to tell you the same advice you told me. You need to go on back further. Because it sounds like what you did is you don't really want to talk about the author too much. You want to talk about his work. And you know some big words, and you know some serious things, and I'm inclined to believe you might be right on some of this. But that don't negate the almighty, all-mind, all-powerful being behind the scenes. Okay, Council Nicaea, some books was left out. Council Nicaea, we know about, you know, all of the Greco-Romans. We know about a lot of all that. We know that the Bible is not flawless. We know the history is not far. We know that white supremacy is thick up in here. We already know that. We know
well,
a lot
should
of
be
our
because they
training.
Did it for
hold
themselves.
On. Hold on, hold on. We know a lot
yeah.
of our information is flawed. But we're asking you right now to just hold off on the book. We want to know about the creator. And you're going back to what he did and, you know, all the things that's happened, and you're going back to history and you naming stuff you know probably we have no clue about. So it makes you look like, to a stranger, this guy's bringing some science. Hold on. It makes it look like this guy's bringing some science because I don't count at least about 15 things you said that I have no clue. And it makes it look like you're light years ahead of us. But all we're asking you is something real simple. In this big research you're doing, we're just asking you who the mastermind is behind it. You go back, and then as soon as I be quiet, you're going to probably say, have y'all heard, but this came from blah, 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 blah. That ain't what we're asking. We're saying you, personally, you. We're talking to you right now, you. Everybody's
Brother Turner, you're repeating yourself.
Hold on.
Let's shorten
hold
it up
on.
So you don't repeat yourself.
You want a specific
yourself.
Question. Again, here is the question.
Give me a specific question.
The specific question is, who made you?
I came out of my mother's womb.
Who made your mother?
And what you in the question that you are trying to come to, Brother Turner, nobody really knows. Remember I told you that man has always had those three questions. Who am I? Where am I? And where did I come from? Man, that has always been a question in the minds of human beings.
One thing I disagree with you on vehemently is you said nobody knows. You can't speak for everybody. You can speak for yourself. Some people know more than they name because they walk with this being. You might say,
well,
oh,
see, you
that's
cut me off. You won't let me finish talking. But here's the point, brother. Nobody knows. But what I'm telling you is this, what I go about is this, that the oldest story of a creation comes out of Africa by black people, and what we today is using somebody else's story. Why don't we use the story that our people have? And a lot of the reason, because we have a lot of self-hate. We always talk about this. We tend to shy away from the things that we've done and always galvanize to the things that people give to us. And that's totally crazy. It don't make any sense.
I can give you my personal, and I know I'm going to let Brother Gabriel jump in, so I'm going to make this less than a minute.
And while you was in Ethiopia,
I'm sure.
Let me get this through real quick. When you was in Ethiopia, on every corner you came to, you seen their history. You either seen Tetwarderis, you seen Menelik on the horse, or you seen Johannes. Their history is on every corner at every major intersection in Addis Ababa.
Right.
But see, we only want to gravitate to what was given to us. When blacks, Africans was brought here to this part of the world, they wasn't following Christianity. They was following Mohammedism, and they was following tradition. Because missionaries had not worked their way down into West Africa. When Noah was supposed to have those three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and so forth and so on. Well, there's so many holes in that story that it's literally impossible. We all know, I just told you a few minutes ago about excavation that date back over 65,000 years, and also mentioned to you about calendar that date 25,900 years. So that
now, hold on. When you say that, though, who are you quoting? Because, I mean, how do you know?
No, you can see the calendars today. I'm not talking about this. You can go to Dendera, and the calendar is there today. You can see it.
This is what I've learned, I've learned this, and I promise you, I respect what you're saying. I mean, I don't know how Brother Gabriel, some things you say I respect, but I think what y'all are doing, we go and we trust these same white people. We pick and choose when we're going to listen to the white man. When it's proven our point, we quote him. And when we don't,
I don't study white folks. But listen.
Now, white are some of the, if you really listen, Dr. Quay, Aswar Kwesi, Dr. Ben, if you listen to a lot of these people and really listen to some of the things they said when they started talking about Egyptology and even Christianity too, I ain't gonna lie, they pick and choose when they're going to listen to white people. If white people are just so evil, then you shouldn't quote them at all at any time, period, forget
but
it.
Give me an example.
What I'm saying is, let me just get this out. You know, I'm trying to think of Dr. The one that died, the one that challenged all the European scholars, Diop, Chenka Diop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, even I think Diop, if you will be honest, and you say, well, Diop, where you get this from, that the first man, this magnum, pro magnum, and all that, his early studies, I put money on it that he studied some white scholars. We study white people, then we disagree with white people. Then we study white people, then we disagree with white people. This is what I say. That's why all this stuff is suspect. You talking about holes in the Ham, Shem, Japheth, you need to see the holes in Egyptologists, the holes among the white community and what they have got to say to what you just said. I mean,
Europe don't agree. That's why
Diop
you have to go do
trouble.
It yourself.
Hold on. Diop had many troubles with white people and what he was saying, and they finally gave him some.
No, what Diop in 1974 at the UNESCO symposium on the people of ancient Kemet or the people of ancient Egypt, check out a Diop and Theophile Obenga debated 20 of the scholars from the Western world on the race, the ethnicity of what they call the ancient Egyptians. And Diop and them proved in at least 7 different categories and show that they came from the southern part of Africa, based on language, based on blood, based on custom, based on linguistics, based on DNA, not DNA, but at the time he'd done the melanidosis test off of one of the mummies. That's what that argument was about. Same thing, Europeans have the same problem. They want to know where they come from, too. The out of Africa was a theory. Now, once all those who disputed what was being said, once they have come to realize, you know, well, this is, you know, they all settle. They all come to the conclusion that modern man today, based on mitochondrial DNA, shows that the first Eve would have came out of Central Africa.
We keep getting in this. I'm almost trying to figure out how did you do that again? We back on the book. We back on chapters in the book. I'm trying to get you to talk about the author, and the best you did when you said, "Look, man, everybody want to know who am I." And nobody really knows. Let me show you an example. Hold on a second.
Well, brother, turn. You
hold
don't
on
hold me
hold
on.
A second.
If I was
I
a hold on,
you,
if I was an airplane, I never would take off from the airport.
Okay,
now,
but hold on a
me,
second. Hold on.
Let
but
me
hold
say
on a second. Hold on a second. Now, I promise you, you're gonna talk the most out of this conversation. I promise you.
All right.
From here on out, you'll talk the most. Whether you talk 5 minutes or 20 minutes, you're gonna talk the most. So. Just give me a minute to just say one little thing.
All right.
I'm asking you a question, and I think Brother Gabriel has asked you the same question. You're killing us with the facts. You're a scholar, man. You know a lot. We give you that. I'll give it to you over Gabriel and myself. You know a lot. But what you're giving us ain't what we're asking you. What we're asking you is, out of all your studies, who's the mastermind behind it?
Well,
who's
the mastermind.
Hold on. I'm going to make the question.
You hold on for a minute. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you the answer right now. Because you keep on asking these questions, brother. I can see your frustration. I mean, I ain't going no place. I'll be here from now until the end of the year if you want me to. The mastermind of what you're looking for is not in that book that you're reading. That's my answer.
That is not
and
an answer.
And the overall answer is that nobody knows how this galaxy got to where it is today or where it comes from. It's over 40 billion years old. How can you know? And it's continuing to move in what's called space. There's a universe, then there's space. I mean, just think about it. You can travel in one direction and never bump into something. That's hard. It's beyond the imagination.
Now, I again will say you can't speak for other people. Now,
what I'm required to do, for instance, is that when people make the statement said that the Bible is history, but that's not true. I mean, they got classes that's going on in Yale where people's paying thousands of dollars to go to, and I can send you to. They have some of these classes on the internet where these particular Yale scholars in the particular field, they tell you the same thing. They've had more access to monies and access to this, that, and the other than anybody that's on this conversation. They tell you the same thing. It's not theology. It's not history. Some of them wouldn't even let their children read it because it's just too violent. And it's not a book.
Let me ask you a question. This is what I'm saying to you. You are studying, brother, and you, when you run across things, you apply something called logic. And then if logic kicks in, you say, okay, that makes sense. Now I'll move on to the next truth. And then if logic don't kick in, you throw it out. And if crazy say something to make more sense and you explain it better or whatever, then you may accept it or whoever. You are traveling, and your conscience with this logic is what approves and stamps you to go on. That's right. Go on, get more. Go on. Okay, here's my logic.
somebody walk up to me tomorrow and say, my brother, I don't know you, but your name is Seth, and you're from Fort Worth, Texas. You lived in Cincinnati. If they keep going like that, that is the top. That miracles, the supernatural, supersede any kind of book you can open and turn to a chapter with me. That's where I'm at. I'm with the miraculous, because the miraculous man can't do. The miraculous man can't tamper with. But when you start talking about books, the conversation's going to get longer and longer and longer, because there's thousands and thousands of books. What I'm saying to you is, if somebody walks up to me and it got to be a darn show Skippy miracle, I mean, they're going to have to come at me, and I'm going to be trying to make sure I'm challenging them, making sure they're not bugging my phone line. But when it's a show enough miracle, to me, that's it for me. I don't need Quasi. I don't need Seth. I don't need nobody. That is my approval, because the Most High is the only one that can perform. I know that our faith, we can have faith and that can call stuff. I know about that. But I'm talking about something. I mean, what else do we have? Christ said, and I'll quote the words that he said, if you don't believe I'm who I say I am, just believe my works.
But
no,
Let's stop right there, because you don't want through two things I want to comment about.
I promise you. Just write that down. I'm going to be done in less than a minute. I promise you. Christ said, no man can do these things unless the Father be with him. That's where I'm at. I'm not no deeper than that. I'm simple. I don't care what these scholars, what these white folks saying, all these books they getting. I don't know if there's some conspiracy to just down to get us all out of the Bible by, hey, you write this and say the earth is 1,000 years.
I understand that. I understand what you're saying, brother. You are basing your legitimacy off of what man himself wrote, because God did not say that. And we can say that God inspired people. Well, I can say Patara inspired me to say what I'm saying. Wrote that. The Ptolemies commissioned the Hebrews to write their Septuagint. Their Septuagint, if you were to read their Septuagint, which you can see copies of in some PDF files on the internet, what you're reading in those first five books does not match what's in that Septuagint word for word. Another thing, I am that I am is what Haru said. It's called nuke, pook, nuke. And he said it 10,000 years before supposedly Christ.
Ahaya to Mose on the mount.
Don't let my silence say that I agree with you. Go right ahead.
Well, it's just like what you said you seen in Ethiopia, and you went to the Ethiopian Museum. You seen the bones of Deknesh. I know you seen them. Because they're not the real bones. They ain't going to put them on display. And what they say about how old she is, people say that's not true, Seth. That's white folks fooling you.
I know I'm not gonna let them bones curtail what I'm going through in my personal life. If somebody is on straight up on crack cocaine, and you know how crippling that drug and that addiction is, and they, you know, have an experience where overnight they've set free, that is more powerful than 90 tours to Egypt. Now,
well,
listen to what I'm saying. And I'm not taking away from Egypt. All I'm saying is, my brother, is I feel like the prophet when he said in the Old Testament, all right, we're going to call all these gods up on the mountain. I want everybody and their gods to show up tomorrow morning. And we're going to say, whichever god answer by fire, That is the real God. That's where I'm at. Maybe that's not a very mature place to be to you, but I feel like this. Look, it's too many people out here talking. There's Hindus, there's Muslims, and the Most High, the all-powerful being, you might not call him Most High. If you want to call him Ptah, whoever, whoever.
That's what the Hebrew said. Hebrew said that their God was the all-powerful God.
Hold on. What I'm saying is, I'm to a point where that's where I'm at.
Let me stop right there before you go any further.
Hold on a second. I'm not talking that long, I know. I'm saying let all the Elohim gods show up. Whichever God answer, that's the real one. The rest of them is just dialogue. It's just thought.
Let me point this out. Hold on.
I want to ask you a question. If you was on that mountain,
before you ask me a question, let's get back to the point you just got to making. When you talking about the all powerful God, if he was an all powerful God, why come the Assyrians were whooping their butts? And it took the Cushites to save them, who don't believe in Yah. The Cushite was following Ammon.
Well, can I answer that question?
Go right ahead.
Well, from my studies of the truth, which I call the scriptures, I don't call it Bible. Bible comes from the word biblios, which was a false god, a fallen angel. His people and all people that are chose are put through fire, as gold is purified through fire. So if you already so-called secure without no need for the power, you know, never get to know the power. I'm going to call them power because I don't like saying God, because God was another false deity, or the name word God comes from another false deity. But the power, or the Most High, is acceptable, puts people through certain things, and when you follow him, he will lead you out. Even with your, he'll make your enemies fight your battles, so you don't have to take harm. So yes, maybe so-called the Cushites took war and won the war for him, but if you look at the history of the Hebrews, of all the nations, their history is greater. Their abilities today, like we're just gonna go to today, of the
give
so-called
me an example of their history being greater.
Those things are easy to say.
Those things are easy to say, but give me some examples.
Right, you're right.
Opinion.
That's why I'm going to go to today. I'm just going to go to today, to the world. In a sports arena, who dominates the arena in baseball? It's the Hebrew, the Northern Kingdom, which would be the Dominicans, the Latin Americans, the Mexicans, and so forth. Who dominates all the other tribes? My point is this. However you look at it, we are the dominant people. And if you are a so-called Negro, you are attaching yourself to a lesser people. Because I know the Bible is true.
I'm going to let you go on. Let's start with you say dominant people. Black people in America don't dominate nothing. And let's be truthful with it. We do not dominate anything. We don't control the economy in our community. All right, okay, go ahead. You agree on that?
Right.
That sounds good.
We got to understand the other word.
That sounds good, but it don't hold no
validity. Why was in that position? You want me to respond to that?
Go ahead,
sir. In the word. Because we did follow the law, statutes, and commandment with all our heart, and we abhorred the Most High. He put us in a condition where no people or foolish people be over us. So truth be told, if you get an understanding, because the word says seek of wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. You're getting understanding, but what you're seeking, you know, the streets need to overstand it. You're going over the hill instead of just walking over the hill. You're flying over it. You flew over the real thing to try to find something that was above that. When you're trying to find something above the Most High, you're going to often fall down and fall and worship fallen angels, or say there's no God. Basically, from my understanding, you're basically saying there's no God. And other than that, you will have a understanding that I studied this. I study things. I don't say Yahweh or Jehovah either. I used to say Yahweh El Elohim.
I said there ain't no God. Stop right there real
when
quick.
I learned the truth, Yahweh and Jehovah come from Metatron. Metatron was another name for the fallen angel, as we know as Satan or the deceiver.
So an angel fell out of the sky.
No. He was angels. Okay, let me put it this way. Cherubims. High cherub. Cherubims were high angels. Highest cherubim was threw out because he went to be like the Most High. And when he did that, one of his tricks was to pick his first.
What do they look like?
What
do they look like, sir? What do they look like?
Who look like?
They
look like
somebody
men
say that
body.
They were something they had to sin. What do they look like? And who's seen these angels? Was these human forms with wings on their back?
Oh, the wings and the halos is worse for the sun. The wings, that's mythology. But they did have vehicles or chariots which they traveled on, which we would nowadays probably call spaceships. So
and they took chariots and went into outer space.
Hold on a second. Let me jump in.
Let me break it down to
you. Hold on a second. Just let me real quick. You know, I heard you saying, you can't trivialize the spiritual world, man. I mean, you can, you know, if you want to talk about the pyramids and them moving the pyramids around with magic, they got the same kind of weird.
No, that's white folks saying that. Nobody said that.
Hold on, man. Hold on.
Nobody said that. Well, that's not true.
Hold on, please. I heard all kind of stuff about Egyptian magic and don't get me started on spaceship.
Well, they said black people got tails. Did you have a tail?
What I'm saying is you can't trivialize what
Brother
Gabriel is saying. Let the brother
talk. Do you have a tail?
My brother,
I'm
just saying that I wouldn't trivialize what nobody say. Just let them get it out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The people said that black folks had tails, Brother Turner.
Well,
so
those people are oppressive.
You saying that you have heard these things? You said you've heard all these things about pyramids flying and everything. Well, I'm saying that I've heard things that black folks have tails. So they lie.
Some of it obviously is foolishness, but nothing is impossible when you're talking about spirits. Now, I can tell you something right now. You probably laugh at this. I want to ask you a question right about this, and this is going to tell me a whole lot about where you're at. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I got to ask you this question because there is something I know to be real. Do you believe in evil spirits? Do you believe in beings that don't have bodies, that can occupy a person's body and speak through a spirit that is in the room with you, a spirit that exists around you but that's not necessarily inside of your body, that can take control of the space of your body and dominate your personality? Do you believe that, yes or no?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I've had conversation with spirits.
I give you points on that. But when you start talking about spirits and stuff, a lot of people think you're cuckoo. They think I'm cuckoo for just believing what I just said. But is it real? Yes. The truth is often stranger than fiction. So I'm not going to trivialize on nobody. So I'm hearing what they say. Because you may be telling the truth. That's why I listen to you. But I'm just wondering about your studying. It's almost like, and I could be wrong. I'm going to say it. Most likely I probably am wrong. But it's almost like you don't want to know about the Most High. You just want to know about how to tell people. It's almost like you're saying, this is what
I was there one time.
Hold on. Please let me get this out. I'm just letting you know how I think it sounds, what you're saying. That's all. I'm giving you a perception. When you're talking the way you're sharing, you're very calm. You're not coming off like a lot of brothers do. You're kind of getting red up now, but you started off real mellow. And what it sounds like you're saying, without saying it, it's like you're trying to get everybody to walk away from this foolishness of the Bible and just be, not have nothing. Just come off what you're on. You're saying our people was great, and so we'll be great. But our people back in the day, them people you're talking about, they believed in something, and you can't tell me what they believed in. But you saying come away from where you're at, but you won't get a people nothing. But you say we'll be great like we were before.
What they, One of the things when the U.S. military went into Iraq, it's not dangerous. When the U.S. military went into Iraq, what was one of the first things that they took over there? Bibles. Bibles is what they call a soft power. Religion is a soft power. When a nation defeats you, there's three things that they impose on you. One is their language. Two is their God. And, of course, number three is their flag. They're going to fly their flag over your land. So black people in America is basically considered a defeated people. And we have been infused, not only us, but those people around the world too, some to an extent, greater extent, some to a lesser extent, and many people don't believe at all. But, you know, you can't change people's beliefs. People have to hold on to some things. But when you want to get into the discussion, over what it is that you believe and how you came about it and what you came about, how it came into existence, people don't want to go beyond that because all of a sudden now they realize that, man, you know, I've been fooled. Hey, I was that way too. When I first heard somebody say there'd never been a man of any race, creed, or color ever walked the earth by the name of Jesus Christ, well, that went against what I had been taught. So I had to do the research myself, and it took a long time. And I went in many wrong directions, but it took a long time. And then basically following the history, you can see where all this stuff came into being. Now, is it wrong for some people to believe in this? No, it's not nothing wrong with them to believe in it. But if you're bold enough to come out and want to do a discussion on what it is that you believe and how it got to where it is, that's a whole different story. And the point is just this. There's no gods or no Bibles, no stories, no myths that can stand up against the history of black African people. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. This is what I say.
Whenever you're doing something like you're doing, I just talked to my uncle about this the other day. We got an aunt, she's about to probably die. She's older, you know, she's probably not going to die. I understand what you're saying, man. Okay, now.
My grandfather was the same way.
Listen, hold on. She's been a minister all her life. She's been in churches helping people with this so-called gospel, preaching it, and it has lifted a lot of people, you know. And now he all of a sudden is this Egyptologist. So he's going to try to go around now and share with this lady before she passed that basically same thing you saying. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. They don't have no solution, just to show problems. What you believe is wrong. What you got is wrong. Okay, what do I believe in? Well, I don't know, but what you got is wrong. This is what I believe. If you don't have a solution, I mean a concrete, as solid as the ground you're standing on, you should keep quiet till you find out what it is. Because what happened is, if he goes to my aunt and tells her, and he does a good job like you, just bringing up a lot of stuff, and nobody know, because ain't nobody trying to read no 90,000 books. So you're always going to be able to quote stuff people ain't going to know, because everybody going to get off into this because they just don't have a taste for it, okay? So you knowing all this stuff and you quoting it sound like if we was on a talk show, everybody be giving you points because you naming all this stuff we don't know. But I still say, I'm talking about the author of the book. You say you don't know. Nobody know. That's your thing. Well, if he talks to my aunt and she believes any of the stuff he say, can you imagine how this woman gonna die? Her life would have been nothing.
That's not true. Her life was something because she lived, and she's living off the people that came before her. She's living off her mother, her father. She's living off her ancestors. It's those ancestors that we got to address to. Sometimes I open my mouth and they speak through my mouth. I have had experience with the little people, the Kumobelis. I spent a lot of time in West Africa, Ghana, Benin, Togo, the Gambia, Senegal, and so on and so on. And I have had other experiences that people don't have, but when you talk to some of these people from those countries, they say, yeah, we've heard about these things. And here's another point, too. When you go to those countries in West Africa, you talk to the old people and ask them, where do you come from? Undeniably, they all say, we come from the big river to the east. And the big river to the east is the Nile River. And when you dig up graves in what's today called Egypt, where black people, you know, it's one way that you can tell a black person from anybody else, because when they buried their people, they buried them in the fetal position with the head pointed in the direction where they believe they came from. The heads are always pointed to the south. They buried in the fetal position because they believe it was from the womb that they come from. It's the womb that they're going back to. And another point, Africans believe not in the creation of man, then woman. They believe that man and woman was created simultaneously. Hey, right, get this pencil down, man. I'm going to give you my phone number because I know you're going to want to call me.
Okay.
Area code 314, and well, you got my number, 381-4644.
Hold on.
And no, your father shouldn't be trying to take, you know.
Give me your number again.
314.
Uh-huh.
381.
Uh-huh.
4644. Or okay. You give me on my cell, which is 677.
Uh-huh.
4953, same area code.
Now,
but as far as your auntie, no, I wouldn't. I would. Your auntie needs to be comfortable with what she has, and you shouldn't try to burden her with, you know, anything else. I mean, the only.
One thing I will say to you: you're very clever. You talk very professional, and I'm telling you, had I not dealt with people like you in the past, and I'm telling you, Egyptology attracts some of our sharpest minds for whatever reason. But I just think had I not been raised the way I was raised, I'd have probably been swept by y'all a long time ago. But I still ask questions that have them stumbling. And I remember I'm not going to call her name because she'll probably listen to me one day, listen to this archive, but she's known in Cincinnati, and her husband studies this thing to the, I mean, they know these people. They know a lot of names that you called out. But when I start talking about the Hebrew thing, how we're sitting up fulfilling prophecy, we don't know anything about it. So it just validates the Bible. It validates us. If the Bible is a myth, if it's not true in any way, how is it that these, it don't matter if it's yesterday and it's not 99 grandmamas ago. If my mother is quoting saying, boy, let me tell you something. If you don't watch out, this is what's going to happen. And it happens, my mama is good
because
as the Most High. Hold on, please let me get this out. If my moms are quoting stuff and it happens, her word is to me as same as the Most High if it comes to pass, because nobody can do these things except the Most High be with them. Now listen to what I'm saying. Egyptologists are very clever people. They go back and they naming all these things, and it does make a lot of sense what you're saying in some ways. And it makes a person feel like, well, maybe this stuff ain't right. But they never, ever, ever, I don't care how many videos you look of Ajuan Kwesi. Go look at the video. Get all his work. Look at it. And keep this question in the back of your mind. So who then is the Most High? Who made us? Where do we? You keep them questions, and I promise you they'll never be answered. So to me, it's just a whole lot of guessing. Some of it is accurate.
You're absolutely right.
Hold on. Let me get one more thing. Some of what y'all saying is the show enough truth. I know it in my spirit. And I think that's why people stumble, because they know something about this brother is right. But, man, if you don't have an answer, If you can explain away these prophecies, I think y'all probably more effective if you wouldn't come so hard against the scriptures, say, you know, some of the scriptures are right or blah, blah, blah. But when you start talking about the whole Bible is, you know, off and people sitting up living out the scriptures and things are happening, prophecies are being made and all these miracles and things we can't explain, man, it make y'all look real, real crazy, I promise you.
Well, people can say that, but, you know, people say, the thing, it has, to say that it historically is correct, you find some similarities in the history of the stories that's in the Bible, because those who used it, they had to borrow and plagiarize off of some other people's stuff. I mean, it's quite evident. But black people don't use that the way that they should. Deuteronomy is a beautiful piece of literature, where the God of the Bible says he's a particular God. He didn't say that. He said that his first son was Israel. I called my son out of Egypt, and so on. So I didn't say anything about Jesus. The New Testament was something that was brought about by Europeans for themselves. I mean, it's quite obvious. Are we still on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Everybody got kind of quiet.
No, don't let my quietness mean I disagree. I think you're a clever guy. Brother Gabriel probably still there. I think you're clever. I think what you're saying may hold some water, but again, don't let my not responding. I just want to get. I like people talk, because the more they talk, the more they sometimes prove my point. Sometimes I do learn. I've learned some things from you tonight. I'm not going to lie. But I still say the same thing.
When you were there
in
Ethiopia.
I live a life. I want a right now Elohim, a right now God, somebody that is real in my life. And I know there have been times I have been nobody. Sometimes I thought things and didn't even let it out of my head. Sometimes I've asked for things and didn't even let it out of my head. And somebody might say, well, that's just coincidence. But what is a coincidence if you are thinking something? Sometimes, well, you might have drawn with your own mind. I do believe in things you can draw with your mind. I understand faith and all that.
But you can't draw nothing.
There have been things that happened in my life, and I know for a fact some other beings was involved in it. I believe in the spiritual realm, and I think the Bible is the greatest account of what these spiritual beings are doing than any other book I've read. I do think the Bible is missing some books. I think white supremacy has had its hand in it. But
Turner, it was for them. They should have. I mean, we just don't want to admit that.
No.
The Bible went through a process of canonization, brother.
There wouldn't be no chapter on leprosy if it was for them. There wouldn't be no chapter saying his hair was like lamb wool if it was for them. It wouldn't be no a chapter talking about our face was blacker than the coal in Lamentation if it was
brother,
for them.
Brother, when you burn brass, it don't turn black. Get a torch and burn brass and see if it turned black. Come on.
It ain't white. It ain't white. There's too many scriptures in the Bible to talk about blackness of Israel and the Most High, and the Messiah, for it to be a white man's book. So you're not going to sell me on that.
Well, that's because those people's skin were black. I mean, if everything, all people began in Africa and sub-Saharan Africa, then they spread it out. White skin is something relatively new on as far as the history of man. Some say only
right.
Going back maybe 20,000 years ago.
You're proving our point. You said it was a white man's book. It was for them.
No, it is. What you're reading today was contrived by Europeans. Constantine, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, it went through those ecumenical council meetings where they decided what was right, what to put in, and what to leave out, because they were fashioned
for
themselves.
We familiar with that. You're not teaching us there. Now you're backtracking. We know that. We're saying that through all that white supremacy,
the truth is so strong that it still can salvage one. It's missing some stuff. We know that. But we got in the scriptures where the Messiah said that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. You probably have an analysis for the Holy Spirit. All I'm saying is this.
Well, the Holy Spirit, they took the woman out of the Trinity and replaced it with the Holy Ghost. Why would they denigrate the woman like that?
The Holy Spirit is what? I know a brother. He used those same verses, and he can put the woman right back into the. He goes into the Hebrew, and he can show you the feminine side of the Holy Spirit. So you're not doing nothing that people don't know. Hear me out.
The Holy Spirit is a woman.
Hear me out. There's some brothers I know that can do that. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. I'm going bigger and higher again. All this is good. All of this is good. But there's got to be a mastermind behind this. And listen, if there is no God, you're wasting your time studying. I mean, for real. That's just for, because we got
like. Well, I don't pray.
Hold on, I don't pray and don't want to go to a heaven. If I could sell my ticket to heaven, I'd sell it tomorrow. We got 5 minutes, and I'm going to let you probably have three of them. We got 5 minutes. If there is no higher power that we have to account to, I don't want to talk to you. Now, I want you to listen to me very close. If there is no higher power, I got about 8% of this planet of white people, I need to try to wipe out as much as I can because I feel like they've done me harm. If there is no God, because if there's a God, then that explains why they're doing what they're doing. It's the Most High doing it, and it ain't them. But if you're saying there ain't no God, then the white man is our enemy for real. I mean, hold on, my brother. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off, please.
Well, you said I'm going to get 3 minutes of the five.
Let me get this out, please. If we get cut off,
you call me right back.
No, I'm going to end this conversation. I'm going to let you have the last few words, and Brother Gabriel, and I'm done. All I'm saying to you is this. If there is no God, why do we need morals? For real. I mean, honest, please hear me out. If there is no powerful
Brother Squirrel's got morals.
Please let me get this out. I'm telling you, I'm about done. If there is no higher overseeing authoritative being, what the hell is morals? Then I can talk to you any kind of way. There is no rules for nothing we do. We just got a chaotic world. Black people call it
mod. Go ahead. I'll give you some more of my minutes. I answer with one word, my aunt. Truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, and order.
The people who said it first,
then everybody else built off of it. Thus which you apply today.
So why should we do it?
See, now the thing is that I'm saying is why come we only want to give certain things to some people and other things to others? Now let's go back and give credit to where it all began. It began with black people. And all these other stories came out of these stories.
Why even honor them? They didn't make the world. They're not the fathers of everything.
But
why even honor them?
For us, they done something that blacks in America has yet to do. And
I don't think they ever will. You're backtracking. Come on, let's move forward with this.
I just told you. Why should you honor them? At least you go back to the original. You go back to the source. If you lost
that's
in the woods,
the
you can change.
If they can't make themselves, if they listen, my brother,
they
you're not
the
following,
source.
Man.
See,
this is why Greeks I can't. This is why I can't do y'all. Listen, let me just say this, man. I gotta just take the hams because we got like 2 minutes.
All I'm saying is this:
if there is no higher
power, brother
Turner,
I told you, but you don't
want
to listen to me.
There is no reason to answer to nobody, black. Forget them. There is no. Who the hell are them? I don't care if it's good or bad. We probably should all be doing evil. Evil is the way to go. If there is
all that you know about the, all that you know about the higher power, who taught you?
You're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm above you now.
But you're not